Pari Chavo say good morning. Let's begin. So we're picking up on the bottom of page Tof Yud Zayin. Tof Yud Zayin. Oath Kus. Remember again, this chapter is Ma'alas HaEmuna. Right? So up until now, we've been speaking about what Emuna is, and even to certain degrees, ultimately how to acquire it. Now the focus a bit more is on what Emuna brings to your life, how Emuna enriches your existence. Oud kasab sefer amidos berach emuna. Ayidi emuna nisbarich. Ayidi emuna nischakim. Ayidi emuna yachala haven kiv yachala Hashem isbarach. So first of all, the sefer amidos he brings down that through emuna a person receives bracha. Through emuna a person becomes wiser. Through emuna a person is able to understand Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Now we're going to expound on each of these ideas. Ayidi emuna Hakadosh Baruch Hu yisach lecha. Through emuna, ultimately, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive you for your averos. Ayedi emuna, nisbat and hagzeros. It's through emuna, ultimately, again, that the negative decrees are annulled, forgiven. Sha'umos goes rosalim, that the nations of the world decree upon us. Ayedi emuna, nisyashef hadas. Through emuna, a person has yishef hadas. Now, this is different. Remember, again, last week he spoke about yishef hadas, which really represented this idea of unity, of purpose, of focus. Here, yishev hadas, I think, means kipshuto, a certain inner tranquility. Va'od muva, she'ikar ha'galos ina ela b'shil chisar emuna. So we'll skip to the next section a little bit. So bottom line, when you have emuna, you have everything. When you have emuna, you have everything. Which we'll say, we know this, because in order to you have everything, so you know, it doesn't mean you have all the money you want in your pocket or in your bank account, and it doesn't mean you have all the health, or it doesn't mean you have all the shalom bayis. It doesn't mean you have everything. When you have everything, it means emuna provides you with the tools to be able to deal with everything in life. That when a person has emuna, by definition, they have the tools, the life mechanism, to be able to deal with all of the challenges of existence. But say, here comes a beautiful section. Tachlis yiridas haneshama liolam. What is the purpose of the soul coming down to this world? So the Mechara writes, Rabbi say, so we're still, remember, we're still talking about emuna. I'm just going to take a little bit of a detour over here in order to further develop this idea. So what the Mechaber now is introducing us to is that essentially, emuna is the foundation to all other midos tovos. Emuna is the foundational attribute, the foundational trait, the foundational mindset that allows you to develop everything else. Which again, we saw this, and it's logical. I want to be a patient person. Patience requires emuna. Because without emuna, there are frustrating things that happen all of the time, and it's easy to dispense with my patience. I want to be a rodef shalom, someone who pursues peace. Again, I need emuna there, because otherwise the frustrations of existence are enough to create discord and interpersonal conflict each and every day. Oh, so we saw all this yesterday. It's the foundational midah. Now watch this. Haneshama, so the soul, she chelek elokami mal. So what is the neshama? The soul of the individual is mamish echelik, is a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kishahaisa b'makoma hamakori. So remember again, when the neshama was up in Shamayim, the neshama is literally, this is actually the lashon of the Baal HaTanya, chelik eloka mima'al mamish. It is literally a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Haisa roes or Hashem Yisbarach, umis aneges mimenu. So the neshama ultimately, again, when it was in Shamayim, saw the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and benefited from it. L'chora, ein kirva gedola mizo. There is no greater closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than what the neshama experiences when it's in Shamayim, literally a chilek of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we'll say, so the unasked question that he's referring to over here is what? So if that's the case, right, if at the end of the day, our entire goal in life is closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the most intense closeness that man experiences is in Shamayim, when literally the neshama is a chilek, is a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then what's the obvious question? Why come down? Why come down? Which I will say, I'll say something very interesting. You know, there's a Gemara, there's machlokes in the Gemara, about whether or not Noach la'adam shenivra, Yosef mishalo nivra. Was it better for a person to be born or not to be born? And the Gemara discusses an ongoing machlokes, and the end of the machlokes is, the truth is, better not to be born. Better not to be born, but essentially, now that we're born, we'll maximize it. We'll make the best of it. And I'll tell you, that conclusion always bothered me. Always bothered me. For one simple reason. It seems to say that our very existence is a bidyevet. Right? Our very existence is not the chatzchila. And to me, just my answer is, how could that be? How could that be? We are the crown jewel of creation. I don't just mean Am Yisrael, I mean human beings, mankind. Mankind is the crown jewel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation. So you're going to say that the crown jewel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation was Bidyeved? Was it Bidyeved? So the lions and the dogs and the fish and the turtle, so that's the Chatchila. That's the Chatchila. We're Bidyeved. So there's got to be something deeper in it. And that's really what he's asking over here, is we spend our whole lives trying to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when in fact the highest level of closeness is that which we experienced prior to coming down. So if that's the case, the question that begs to be asked is, why come down? Why come down and frustrate the neshama if at the end of the day what the neshama wants most is what it had before it came down? And he gives such an incredible answer. Aval be'emes, he haisa rechoka me'Hashem Yisbarach. The reality is, as much as there is quote-unquote geographic proximity between the soul and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the end of the day, the neshama is exceptionally distant from God. What does that mean? Mechivan. You see what the Mechaber suggests over here is something amazing. The Neshama is close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the Neshama in Shemayim does not recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? Ki HaNeshama rak yada me'oro ha'nifla v'ha'me'aneg. The Neshama, when it was in the celestial sphere, understood the light and the great light, and benefited from the great light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Aval mi hu zeh ha-meir kol kach. But who is it that gives off this light? Who is this HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Mahin midosav. What are his character traits? Ha-anagosav, upa-alosav. His behaviors, his actions. Mahin kochosav or rizonosav. As zeh hi lo yada. This the neshama did not know. So we'll say, you hear what the Mechaber is saying over here? The neshama ultimately in Shemayim has incredible closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but does not recognize who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. So we'll say, this to me is a mind-blowing idea. What the Mechaber suggests, well, actually look at the mashal. He says, Kol echad yachol lahavin zoz al derech mashal. He says, I'll explain this to you through a mashal. What's the mashal? Im haya omid mulo adam nifla. Hamakrin noam v'yofi v'hod v'haya bevadai mishtokik ma'od la'das mihu zeh ha'adam ha'miyuchad hazeh u'ledaber ito u'lehakir es pa'olosav v'lo haya mistapik b'kach shu omeid mulo af shiyesh lo ta'anug mizeh. So we'll say, listen to this. If let's say again, it gives a very simple mashal. I'm going ahead and I'm standing next to someone who is an incredible dignitary, incredibly important individual. And I could tell they're important because I could tell by the way they're dressed. I could tell ultimately, again, by the way they conduct themselves. I could tell by the way they look. I could tell that they're clearly an important individual. And I'm standing next to them. So again, it would not be enough for me to stand next to them. Rather, again, I'd want to know who they are. Because the act of just simply standing next to them, by definition, does not convey to me the totality of their personal greatness. I'd want to know, who are you? What's your name? Right? What makes you so great? I could tell you're great, but what makes you so great? So the Mechaber says something absolutely amazing. He says, when the neshama is in Shemayim, the neshama has proximity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because of that proximity, the neshama basks in the light of the Ribono Shel Olam. And the neshama is able to feel the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the neshama does not know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the only way to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to come down into this world. Because the only way to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midos are. Who is he? What does he do? What's important to him? And those questions are only answered through observing divine behavior in this world. You see, sometimes you could be geographically close to something. You could have proximity to something, and you can benefit from that proximity. But proximity doesn't always allow you the ability to know that entity. In Shamayim, the neshama has proximity. But in Shamayim, you cannot know the full greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Apparently, says the Mechaber, the full greatness of God is only known in this world when one could observe the handiwork, the midos, the attributes, and the behavior of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we'll stop over here for today with this. It's a very profound piece. We'll pick up with it tomorrow.